At Link Humans, we've spoken to countless HR leaders from around the world, all trying to measure employer brand. The Employer Brand Index is used by GE and Unilever on a quarterly basis to uncover and measure their reputation as an employer, with a final score they can track over time to see how things are changing. We look at what candidates, employees, and alumni say about your organization in an employment context. If you're looking to research your employer reputation, or if you're developing an EVP, this would be the perfect time to create your Employer Brand Index baseline. You'll get a full report of insights and recommendations that you can use to improve your employer brand over time. Head over to employerbrandindex.co and start measuring.
Hey, Sanservation! Guess what? It's Jorgen Sundberg here with the Employer Branding Podcast. That's right. Brought to you by your friends at Link Humans, fine purveyors of data-driven employer brand insights. Today, we're speaking to an energy tech company. They bill themselves as follows. We take energy forward, making it safer, cleaner, and more efficient for people and the planet. I like it. And the person I'm speaking to might have a familiar voice. That is because he's been on the podcast before, and you can also catch him regularly on the Employer Brand event circuit. So without further ado, let's start the show. Hey, Neil, welcome back to the podcast.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me back.
And really nice to see you here at the Link Humans Global HQ in central London. Right, for the benefit of the listeners who missed your episode 2 years ago, believe it or not, when you were at another organization,
yes.
Who are you and what is it that you do?
Right, so yes, I am Neil Daly. I am now the global employer brand leader for Baker Hughes. And for those who may not know who Baker Hughes are, we are an energy technology company. So 5-6 years ago, we were taken over by GE and GE Oil, and became GE Oil and Gas. So for a long time, that's who we were as an organization. Mm-hmm. And that had its benefits because obviously GE is a known entity, known organization. It's a good peg onto which you can hang your hat when you're looking for talent. Baker Hughes itself, though, was an energy company that was started in the States over 100 years ago. And towards the back end of 2019, which is when I joined the company then looked to divest from GE. So it wanted to become Baker Hughes again, standalone, on their own, and slightly change what we do. So traditionally, we're an oil field services company. So we make bits of kit and we provide data, knowledge, information, expertise to oil and gas companies globally. But what we're really looking to do at the moment now is really kind of, and I know a lot of energy companies are doing this, but we're now really trying to push the energy transition to try and move away from the traditional oil and gas world. Yeah. And really kind of recreate ourselves as an energy technology company. So how can we take data and analysis and people and their kind of intellectual curiosity into the energy sector to really help with driving for net zero, looking at carbon reduction, really trying to look at what greener energy opportunities are there outwith of the oil and gas sector that can enable the world to hit a lot of the targets that we're now aiming for.
That's great. Okay, so Baker Hughes, very much a B2B organization,
yep,
which I'm sure has implications for employer brand awareness as well. How many employees do you have?
So we now have, we've gone through a bit of a restructure in 2020. We've now got about 55,000 people in about 120 countries globally.
Yeah, so it's a sizable operation.
It is.
And what is the some of the talent challenges you are faced with?
Well, I think what is not unusual, and I think that we are heading into that world of competition with everybody, it's digital. Everybody knows it's digital. We need you know, we're moving more into that. We're using kind of data and analysis and all of this. This is what we want to offer our clients. And the engineers of the past don't have that. So even though the chief executive comes out and says, we're now an energy technology company, just because you call yourself that doesn't mean that all of the talent that we now need, software engineers, data analysts, they don't immediately go, oh, in that case, I'll come and work for you. So in order for us to hit that brief, we need to really recruit that digital talent in. We've also, I think, you know, we still do have a significant footprint in the engineering world.
Yeah.
And, you know, we are looking at the diversity of that kind of area as well. So how do we get more women in engineering involved? How do we increase our kind of female talent? And also trying to be as reflective of the communities in which we're working.
Mm-hmm.
And again, you know, that whether that's gender, whether that's ethnicity, it could be a range of different aspects of diversity. That's a challenge that we, and it's not unusual, but that's one that we continue to look at as well. And I think also, you know, we have a bit of an aging population, especially in that kind of old traditional oil and gas world.
Right.
And even though we're moving out of it, we do still need to maintain some of that knowledge in the business. Mm. So how do we look at bringing people in who can learn quickly from some of the sort of the grey beards who may be leaving in the next, you know, 4 or 5 years?
And coming back to there being a B2B organization, so you're... the awareness from a consumer perspective is very low.
Yeah.
And also you're now competing for digital talent. So you're probably up against some of your competitors in your space, but also every company in every industry is looking for digital.
Yeah.
And on top of that, you've got all the big tech companies.
Yeah.
With the big paychecks.
So. And on top of that, we've now got so many organizations who are looking at flexible working from home.
Yeah.
So, you know, we did traditionally have bases in certain cities.
Mm-hmm.
and we would be looking for talent, you know, who could commute to Houston as an example. But now, you know, we can look for software engineers in Silicon Valley and we could recruit them. But, you know, the issue that we now have is if anybody can work for anybody anywhere in the world, why would they work for us?
Why not?
But to your point, you know, we're a B2B organization. We don't have, you know, we don't have a product. We don't have anything you can touch or smell or wear or taste. It's very difficult to either become a differentiator or get in front of that market, especially if we're trying to get in front of people who may not have considered the energy sector
yeah.
as one that could be a destination employer. So it's easy to say that we don't now want to be compared to our old traditional competitors, the Schlumbergers, the Halliburtons. But it's kind of heading that way. You know, we want to be perceived as a tech company. And that's exciting, but it comes up against all of those pieces that you've mentioned. Why would they come and work for us when they can go to Microsoft or whoever?
Right. Okay. So the complexity of the competition is fierce. But tell us about the employer brand function, how it came about, and what it's really there to, how it supports the business.
So I joined in August, September 2019. And at that point, there wasn't anybody doing employer brand. There
right.
wasn't anybody doing it. They didn't have an EVP.
Mm-hmm.
And I came into the TA function, the talent acquisition function, because I think they were the ones at the sharp end who realized and understood that they needed this kind of clarity of messaging going to market.
Yeah.
So even though in my previous role in another company, the EVP really was a thread that ran through the entire employee experience, as it should. At Baker, I came in at the time to really look at a particular part of it, which was that external facing, how are we perceived by candidates? How can we get kind of out there more? And so, you know, I think they identified that within talent acquisition as a challenge, assumed something like an EVP or a strong employer brand would enable that, but didn't know how. So that was the blank piece of paper. That was the challenge that I came in facing, which is exactly kind of what I wanted. But very much as that, how do we brand ourselves externally and how do we get a consistent approach globally to market?
Great. All right. So you mentioned the EVP. I'm really curious to know now how you went about to arrive at the final EVP. So talk us through the process, what methodology you used, what sort of research.
So what I did, and even though I keep saying, you know, if I'm a one-man band, which I am, there were a number of organizations externally that I called upon, and I'll come on to that. But internally, I also had to ensure that I got the right people on board.
Of course.
So clearly, TA, you know, were right there. But when, as I mentioned, when I joined, it had become this new Baker Hughes. So brand and communications had done a huge piece of work to identify, well, who are we? What's our mission, our purpose? Yeah. What are our values? And therefore, you know, it was crucial to engage with them early, to explain to them what an EVP is, what an employer brand is, you know, that we're not looking to become something different from, you know, from them, but that we would like to take the essence of what they've created and ensure that it's relevant to the audience that we need to engage with.
Yeah.
So giving them the assurance, the comfort, you know, that we're not going off and doing our own thing, but can we get support from them in terms of an understanding of some of the work that they've done in terms of research to get to those values, but also keeping them engaged in terms of the work that I would then do to see, well, how does the work they've done resonate to the audiences that we want to engage with? So a lot of that was kind of an education piece more than anything else, and an acceptance piece. And then what I did was predominantly work internally with focus groups and senior leader kind of one-to-one interviews, and structured that globally. So we had kind of different regions providing information in. And a lot of that was around, you know, well, why did you join Baker Hughes? Why should somebody join Baker Hughes? Why are we different to another organization? Quite simplistic, but trying to understand some of those points of difference. And then that allowed me to start looking at any sort of resonance of themes that were coming out of those interviews, of those focus groups. And did those themes vary depending upon either who we were asking or where we were asking? So, you know, were people more likely to be joining us in one part of the world because of a compensation, you know, we paid well, as opposed to somebody else who wanted to, you know, they joined us over here because they understood that we were great at developing careers. So we could start pulling upon some of those themes. So, you know, that was kind of a focus group of really those at the sharp end. So it was people within talent acquisition, it was hiring managers, and it was people who had recently joined us and had been through that experience, as well as dipping in and out of some people who had been embedded within the organization for a long time. And then off the back of that, it was having some one-to-one senior leadership interviews to also understand, well, what are their key priorities and what are their key problems going forward? Because actually there's no point saying, well, here's our EVP, if it's not going to be relevant and not going to be helping them deliver what they need to deliver. So it's bringing the two pieces together. So that was sort of the internal piece that I did. And then I also worked externally to look at that, well, how are we perceived by people out there? So as an example, we worked with Universum, who looked at a lot of our early careers piece, just to kind of give us that insight into, you know, how we perceived and what do people think of us who are just starting out on their career.
Yeah.
But I think the most valuable piece of work that we did, and something that really kind of struck a note throughout the business, was the work that we did with Inhumans. And what's been really interesting there is you know, clearly having that opportunity to present into the company and into the main board details around, in effect, what are people saying about us as a company when we're not in the room, has been vital. And vital in two ways. First and foremost is the content and the data that you guys have provided. That really fed into a lot of the work when we looked at our building out our themes and our pillars, which I can come to. But the other piece around it was enabling doors to be opened elsewhere around the business.
Right.
Because as much as you like to think the chief exec and the board are really understanding about EVPs and employer brand, they're not. You know, it's not on their radar. They don't really, you know, necessarily, in my experience, want to know about it. However, if you have data-driven information that shows, for example, why people want to stay at a company, why people leave a company, you know, that's gold dust. And that's the sort of thing that they want to see, and they, you know, they want to share around, because as you well know, breaking it down into the different attributes, whether that's, you know, compensation, whether it's learning and development, we are heads of all of those attributes in our business.
Mm.
And as soon as you show one of those to them to say, did you know that this is what people are saying about your function? You know, you've hooked them in. They want to know all the information around it, what they can do about it. Is it good? Is it bad? So you've already started to engage these people. And then you can start telling the story of how that comes together and build out your EVP off the back of that. So I would say, and I'm not just saying this, honestly, you know, the information from Link Humans has been vital, not just from the outset of the research, but, you know, we're onto our third report now. And the third one is, you know, something that our chief HR officer has been very keen to drive forward. Whether it's post-COVID, we've landed upon what our new strategy is. We've gone through a restructure. We're heading into, you know, we've come through those turbulent times.
Yeah.
We're coming into calmer waters. We're looking ahead as to where we're going to be as an organization, and getting that snapshot of how has that affected people within the business, or how has that affected perception of us for candidates, is something that, you know, we know the business is really keen and eager to see and use.
Fantastic. Okay, so this EVP then, I know you developed a framework with pillars and a governing thought or an essence. You want to talk us through them and how they're applied?
Yeah, so through that research, internal and external, we were able to, and I shouldn't keep saying we, because it is just me, I was able to really kind of land upon four key pillars that allowed us to have a distinct lens on some of the issues that we need to face within talent acquisition.
Yeah.
But they also very much reflected the kind of existing values and principles within the business as well. And those four pieces came together to kind of form that formulation or foundation of our EVP. And okay, an EVP isn't a strap line or isn't, you know, a hashtag, but we did kind of land upon something where we wanted to, you know, our central premise was how we lead the energy transition all over the world. You know, we wanted to show the scale of who we are as an organization in all those countries.
Yeah.
But that we were all together on the same goal of leading that energy transition. So we wanted to talk about the fact that we're taking energy forward. That's very much something the business corporately is behind as well.
Yeah.
And that enables us to talk about a number of different things. You know, taking energy forward could mean many things to many people. So, so it does allow us to kind of build out some messaging around that.
Mm-hmm.
We also wanted to talk about the fact that, you know, we have a history, and even though we are kind of like the new Baker Hughes, we've got 100 years of heritage behind us. Expertise, knowledge, you know, we can build upon that and use that. And that kind of heritage has given us a springboard to really push into the future, which from a messaging point of view brings out a really nice sort of dichotomy of, you know, of kind of heritage and tradition, but with innovation and future focus. So you can really kind of pull some nice content through there. A lot of the research also showed that people really identified growing their career within the business. So the fact that, you know, we provide learning and development, that actually does lend itself to people moving around the business, learning more and actually building a career. So we wanted to talk specifically from the TA point of view. We wanted to talk about the fact that, you know, we don't just offer a job. You don't just come in, clock in, go home. You know, we're an organization where you can come and build a career and we will help you do that. And again, it's that duality of, you know, if you come in and work really, really hard and do the right thing for us, we will do exactly the same back to you. We will develop you, help you, train you, and help that career grow. So that was something we wanted to build upon. And also the fact that even though we're global, we're you know, in 120 countries, what we also found from our research was that people found themselves very kind of committed and embedded within their local communities. So even though they work for Baker Hughes, a global company, wherever they were, whether that was Italy or in sub-Saharan Africa, they felt very belonging to their local area. You know, we do a lot of community work. We do a lot of outreach work with employees as well. And so actually it felt like you work for a local company, even though, you know, we're a massive global organization.
Sounds like a good thing.
Well, it was a great thing. So it's, you know, you don't just become a little cog in a massive machine. Mm. You know, you can come in and yes, scale and growth and opportunity is there, but you can feel really as if you are making a difference to your local area as well. So that was something that we wanted to pull upon there too. So those were our four kind of key pillars, and that's what then forms the formulation of our content, of any sort of stories, employee testimonials, anything that we want to try and bring our voice to life. We base it around those four pillars.
And out of the four pillars, have you got a favorite one that people seem to want to hang their hat on and rally around?
I think it's a good question. I mean, I think the energy, the kind of the we're taking energy forward one, I think is a nice one.
Yeah.
Even though, because, and this could be seen as a bad thing, but it can mean many things to many different people. So it gives you that variety.
Yes.
So, you know, what we want to do is when we built out the guidelines and some of the guidance around the EVP, we wanted to really ensure that we start using sort of inviting, challenging, and empowering words around it. You know, so we're not in some of our kind of engagement strategies, we're not just inviting people to join us. We're trying to explain why it's in their best interests to do so.
Mm.
And, you know, that then having that sort of where, you know, the energy, kind of the driving the energy transition and moving energy forward, it enables us to kind of engage with that, to start talking about the purpose behind what we're trying to do. You know, we know that there's a lot of people out there who want to try and work for a company that is doing good. And it's difficult in the oil and gas sector sometimes to show that we are. But genuinely, what we're doing now is revolutionary. We are trying to really answer some of those questions, and calling people in to help us down that journey to enable us to achieve those aims, I think can be quite a powerful message. And it's one that we're really starting to see resonate. So I think that's probably the one that's landed best for me anyway.
Yeah, great. Okay. And speaking of resonating, bringing this EVP and this positioning of your employer brand to life, what are some of the plans that you've got over the next 12 months in terms of communications, social, web, and campaigns, initiatives?
So what we've started to do and where we kind of moved very quickly was around specific sort of campaigns. So it was very, I suppose it moved itself into a recruitment marketing space quite quickly.
Right.
That's where we could really kind of start to leverage.
That's usually where there's an urgent need.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. And so, yeah, look where are the fires burning?
The low hanging fruit.
Yes. So we started to, ensure that whether it was a tone of voice, whether it was a message, whether it was a look and feel, we started to have a far more consistent presence externally. So actually, if a candidate was coming across us as a brand, there was a distinct look. People could actually, whether you were looking in, you know, Beijing, you know, or Bristol, you would start to see a distinct and consistent look for who Baker Hughes is as an employer.
Yeah.
So that was quite an easy one to kick off with. We've revamped the careers website. So both the, you know, the content, the look and feel, as well as some of the user experience pieces, we've enabled all of that work to be done and to really pull out messaging from the EVP to those different audiences, because obviously it needs to speak to, you know, to the experienced professionals, to the early careers across the board, and to ensure that, you know, our commitments to diversity come across in everything we do there as well. So that was one of the first, again, a bit of a low-hanging fruit, quite an easy one to get in and sort out. We don't have a massive, at the moment, we don't have a massive sort of multi-channel approach online. Won't go into why. It is being looked at, and that will be the next piece in terms of what is our social media strategy when it comes to engaging with talent globally. But what we did have, we have a heavy presence on LinkedIn, both from a recruiter and a hiring manager point of view. So I also came up with a kind of a social media guideline guidebook that I kind of did training and embedded that in to ensure, again, it's kind of all similar, but ensuring that any communications that recruiters were having on LinkedIn, any information that hiring managers were sharing on LinkedIn, again, it was consistent. It sounded the same, it looked the same, but it delivered upon some of the nuanced messages that they needed to get across. So those have been some of the key aspects. We haven't done a huge amount internally. Again, I think it's probably not, we're kind of shifting a little bit that way. And a number of the people that we worked with, whether that was learning and development, Total Reward, having greater engagement there, the onboarding team, you know, just making sure that when people have their first touch of Baker Hughes externally and start to understand or think they understand, you know, who are we, that story is told consistently to the moment they join, and they don't join and go, well, hang on a minute. You said you were an energy technology company and I'm, you know, doing this. So those have been some of the key areas that I've looked at to start with, but it will continue to evolve. And even some of the messaging will alter and change as we perhaps look at a revalidation project. Right. Now that the dust has settled, you know, we want to go back in and just check, well, do those still stand? If it's only been a couple of years, but, you know, are we still saying the right thing to that market?
Yeah, understood, absolutely. Now, I've also noticed that your CEO, I think, is Lorenzo Simonelli.
Correct.
That's right. He is very active on social and LinkedIn.
He is.
How has that helped? Does that sort of set the tone for the rest of the organization in terms of in the culture of sharing and communicating from leadership? I mean, how does it help your day job?
I think it helps my day job considerably. And actually, where we really got leverage from it was from information we had from you within Link Humans. Because Lorenzo was and continues to be a real champion of the mission we have as an organization to be a purpose-driven organization. And that is what he talks about a lot online. As part of his role is to, in effect, reposition the organization, he knows that that is the key driver behind it. You know, the mission of the organization, the purpose of the company. And we also know that that is something that resonates hugely with people looking for a new career. You know, are they joining an organization that has a clear purpose and is out there to try and do the right thing in their field? So having a chief executive who walks the walk and talks the talk has been hugely beneficial because it just adds that credibility. And I think the difference that we sometimes have is that, you know, I've been involved with organizations where you get statements from chief executives or the leadership team on LinkedIn, and it's kind of a standard corporate quote that basically anybody could say. The great thing about Lorenzo and a number of our senior leaders is that they genuinely believe in what they do, and they are the ones genuinely sitting down and writing those messages. And it's not just Lorenzo. We have one of our leaders who's looking at kind of the energy transition and our kind of ESG space. She is hugely engaged on LinkedIn and pushing that. And also in terms of our chief innovation and technology officer, again, she is heavily invested on LinkedIn in terms of trying to explain what we're doing, how we're doing it, and how we're using technology. So, you know, when we're trying to go to market and say to people, we are a technology company and we are trying to do good and we do have the right premise behind us, we've got the genuine, authentic feel of our senior leaders echoing this in the background, which is clearly, through the research that you guys have done, is clearly landing with people externally as well. And it just gives us that springboard. You know, we're not having to start from a kind of a standing start to say, look, please, you know, believe us, we are doing this. We've got loud, committed, authentic voices telling that story again and again. And that's just, you know, that's great from an employer branding and an EVP point of view.
Yeah, fantastic. So we'll watch this space. And what are some of your top tips, Neil, for employer brand professionals who like to emulate work that you've been doing, sort of EVP development, et cetera?
I mean, I think don't try and do it all yourself. I mean, even though I am a one-man band, you know, I've had, well, there are kind of two aspects to that. First and foremost, it is crucial that you engage with the right people in the business.
Yes.
And what I mean by that is that those are the people who could potentially put a spanner in the works of what you're trying to put forward. So, you know, whether that's corporate brand, corporate communications, corporate marketing, they need to be your friend. And they need to, and they will have bigger resources. They will have bigger budgets if they are clearly informed about what you're trying to do. They should support you and help you. If you just try and go ahead and develop an employer brand because it's the right thing for TA without engaging them or without explaining what you're doing, they also have the resources to be able to come straight in and say you're not doing that. And I've not happened at Baker, but other places I've worked, that's happened. So for any project like this, identify who are those stakeholders who could be preventative, but also could also be a massive support for you. Engage with them and spend time with them explaining what you're trying to do. I would also say, you know, look for some of those champions out width of the area in which you work. So yeah, within TA, you're going to have a lot of people wanting, you know, wanting this to work, helping, supporting.
Sure.
But you need to get that from elsewhere as well. So as an example, within Baker, you know, we have different product companies, all kind of delivering different parts of the business. And each of those product companies have their own comms teams. So, you know, it's really important to engage with them. They again will help get messages across. They will help provide information and content for you about what's going on in their areas. You know, they're a kind of a steady stream of good information about what's going on within the business. They'll provide that insight that you might need as well. So again, explain to them what you're trying to do and how you want to showcase some of the great work they're doing. And then they'll start to feed that through to you. So you've got a conveyor belt of really great, you know, content coming along. And then another one, the final one I would say is, and again, it may not work for everybody, but a company of our size, we have our employee resource groups.
Yeah.
So we have our networks. And again, you know, whether it's a focus group, whether it's content creation, whether it's a feedback loop, they're ready-made in effect within those networks. So I would look for, you know, who runs those? Do they have communication leads? If so, go and see them, sit them down, explain what you're trying to do, and work with them. Because again, you know, they will provide a wealth of information, but you can also lean on them for some information as well. So you've got some ready-made groups there that you can dip in and out of. So that those would be my kind of, you know, quick wins in terms of engaging the right people, but also using those people as a vehicle to get the awareness of EVP and employer brand known more widely outside of TA.
Yeah, fantastic. Right, so Neil, you've been in this sort of role, this function for a while now.
Within employer branding itself?
Yes.
Yeah, I suppose I've been doing it for 10 years maybe by now. I don't even know if it existed 10 years ago, but I've been doing a sort of a role like it for about 10 years.
And what is it that gets you up in the morning? What is it that makes it so special?
Well, I think from my point of view is there's a few things in play. I mean, I used to work in recruitment, but I also have a background in communications. But I know some of those challenges at the recruit. You know, I've been there and done it and tried to recruit. And so I know how this can help. You know, I know that, and this sounds a bit, you know, kind of a bit over the top, but, you know, I know the good that it can do and what it can deliver and how it can help. And so being able to address those problems, you know, is one of the things that I really like. For me, I've all the time I've worked with an employer brand, it's been from a blank piece of paper. And that personally has been the best thing for me. Creating something, embedding it, growing it, seeing your sphere of influence build within an organization. You know, that because it's never done. You know, just because TA are sitting there going, well, this is great, thanks very much. Then what's going on with marketing communications? What's going on with social media? What's happening with the website? What are you doing with university relations in terms of engaging, you know, especially now virtually, you know, what technologies can be brought in? Or conversely, don't always bring technology in because actually people want to talk to people. So, you know, it does allow you to get involved in as many different aspects as you kind of want. You know, you can kind of put your shoe in the door sometimes and go, oh, you're discussing that, are you, within the business? Well, I think it's really important that I understand what's happening there to be able to either take that information externally to the market or ensure that our current employees that we're looking to retain know more about that. So it allows you to be really nosy and get around the business.
It gives you an internal press pass.
It does. Yeah. It does. And you know, and use it and abuse it, because it's a great way of also then fundamentally understanding how some of these big organizations run. So curiosity, I think, is one of the key things.
Yeah, that makes total sense. Right, final question, Neil. Where can our listeners connect with yourself? And where can they learn more about Baker Hughes?
Okay, so in terms of Baker Hughes, we are obviously on bakerhughes.com from a website point of view, LinkedIn, Twitter, heavy presence on LinkedIn and Twitter, but not much else at the moment. But we are, watch this space. We have a social media plan ahead. From myself, again, I'm on LinkedIn. And I also am on Twitter as myself, as at Neil W. Daly. So I can be reached out to via those platforms.
Fantastic. All right. Well, thank you so much for round two.
It's a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Back on the podcast. Look forward to having you again on it soon.
I shall look forward to it very much.
Thank you.
Okay, there we go, folks. Feel free to reach out to Neil on LinkedIn and or Twitter, and thank him ever so much for returning to the podcast to share his insights. Lots of good tips there around EVP in particular. And you may want to consider subscribing to this podcast. You can do so at employerbrandingpodcast.com, as well as all the usual places. Now, what is your organization's reputation as an employer? What are your strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats in terms of employer brand? How can we measure these? Well, these are three great questions for which I have only one answer: the Link Humans Index. Just like Neil and Baker Hughes, I found a value in this. We'd love to have a chat about your company's employer brand index. On a regular basis, we work with our clients to report on their employer brand health, as well as aligning their strategies, whether it's about EVP, internal programs, candidate experience, or what have you. It's a partnership where we work together to improve the world of work and, by default, their employer brands. Sound good? Get in touch with me or just head over to linkhumans.com to learn more. Okay, that was it for this week. Thank you ever so much for tuning in and look forward to catching up next time. Hey!
Why did the damp owl struggle to find a girlfriend?
No idea.
Because it was too wet to woo.